this is relatively unusual. I don't recall a situation, at least here in the Western states, where we have done something like this, where we have a celebrated case, and the courts order that the property of the suspect, of the convicted person, be auctioned off to pay the victims back restitution that is owed to them. That is relatively unusual. And in this case, clearly being the notoriety of the case and all, it's gathered a lot more media attention and public attention as well because of, again, the celebrated nature of the investigation, the fact that it went 18 years and really terrorized some parts of our country for that that long period of time.
Now, the perpetrator, Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber, is still alive, still in prison. Did he, as a prisoner, does he have any say at all in whether the property gets sold?
No. Once the court took action against his property, he had no say in it at that point. There was a lot of legal maneuverings, and that's part of what took so much time. This order was made, I believe, in 2008, and I'm estimating there. So it took quite some time to actually get here because of all the legal maneuverings by his legal folks. But once that was done, clearly it was done.
And how does it end up that the Marshal Service is the agency that disposes of the property?
That's part of what the Marshal Service does. We are the enforcement arm of the federal courts. A lot of people don't know that. And we in effect, can enforce any order of the federal court, whether it's an order to arrest a person, to seize property, or to sell property. And we do so typically on drug cases, in asset forfeiture cases, quite a bit.
Tell us a little bit about this particular auction, because I think that these are unusual or interesting materials. What is it you had to sell, and how did the auction go?
Well, we were selling most, if not all, of the property that was seized from Mr. Kaczynski in his little cabin in the woods. The actual cabin has been transferred to a museum in Washington, D.C., and it's currently housed there, and it was not offered for sale. But most of the other items that were seized from from that cabin were ultimately sold. There were some items that were considered bomb-making materials and bomb-making instructions because he took detailed notes of everything that he did and what he tried in terms of making these devices. All of that was either redacted or removed and was not sold to the public. Obviously, we don't want to teach somebody how to make a bomb. So other than that, it's all here. Some of it is just miscellaneous clothing and bags and items like that. And others are more valuable to collectors and to people that have interest in this type of material.
Yeah, there was a typewriter. I think that probably was something that would be of interest because he typed his famous manuscript on that.
Exactly. And that, I believe, the last piece of information that I had was the bid for that was right around $14,000.
Now, it seems a little bit ghoulish, I guess, when you get into clothing and sweatshirts. Do you have any idea of who is buying this material? Not so much the names, but are they collectors of war memorabilia?
We have no idea who is buying this. Could be museums, could be collectors, private collectors. Who knows? The manuscripts, some of his personal journals, and manuscripts, his autobiography are also fetching relatively high prices as well. So that would mean to me that it would be some type of collector, maybe even a library, private or otherwise.
We are speaking with U.S. Marshal Albert Najarro of the Eastern District of California. And how did the auction work? Was it an online situation? Did people show up in person? What was the process?
We had a couple of different processes. We opened it up with a media day where we displayed all of the items that were going to go up for auction for the media so that they could see them. And we had a couple of FBI agents that were the lead investigators in this available so that they could talk to the media about the nature of these items. Some of them had played a big part in the investigation and or into the actual crimes, and we wanted to be able to describe that to folks. Then we had the items available for personal inspection if people were interested in from what I understand, and there was quite a few people that did make the journey to Atlanta to view all of this stuff that was housed there by the GSA, the General Services Administration. It was available for personal inspection, and then it went online just like any other auction that GSA runs, very similar to eBay auctions and all of the other auctions that are done online.
How do you decide the distribution of the proceeds to the different victims? Some, of course, were killed. Others, like Professor Gelertner of Yale, are still around. So how do you divide up the spoils?
That money will all be going back to the courts, and they have a victim's advocate there that will divide up the money as directed by the court.
Now, as a U.S. Marshal, is there some satisfaction in seeing this level of justice take place?
Well, you know, the short answer is yes, but it gets a lot more complicated. I've been in law enforcement all of my life, and I've dealt with a lot of victims, and there's one thing that's very common amongst victims is that they're all different. And that's certainly the case with this particular series of crimes. Some of the victims don't want anything to do with anything regarding the Unabomber. Others are very happy that we're auctioning off all of his property. And really, Ted Kaczynski was very much against technology, and that was one of the things that actually angered him the most, and what he indicated had driven him to send some of these bombs to technology companies and airline companies and universities who were engaged in what he thought was furthering technology. And we're using that very technology to sell all of his stuff, and some victims find some satisfaction in that. And so I guess my answer to your question is yes, I'm glad we're doing this. We can't in any way make up to these victims for what they have lost. Some of them have lost body parts. Some of them have lost loved ones. Some of them have had great financial difficulties because of what has happened, and certainly it's altered their lives, and I don't think we could ever make up for that. But I don't see anything wrong with a little bit of offset coming at the cost of this suspect who clearly was a deranged individual.